Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
All right, Marcus Leshock from the WGN Morning News is the amusement park and roller coaster aficionado of the Midwest. And as we get into the summer season, Marcus joins us now to break down all the new rides, the classic ones we know and love, and much more. Marcus, how are you, pal?
Good. How are you doing?
I am great. So you were a kid riding roller coasters with your dad, which was a pretty big deal, specifically the Shockwave at Six Flags. Was that kind of what got you into all this?
Yeah, Shockwave at Great America, if people have been out there and remember that ride, it was the big ride at the opening of the park. That was the first really big, serious roller coaster I went on, and I knew once I went on that, was the first time I went upside down on a roller coaster, I was hooked.
Yeah.
So that was the one that really got me into, okay, I can do this, and I absolutely love it.
So when you were growing up, like, what was the amusement park you went to? Was it Six Flags?
Yeah, I grew up in Schaumburg, so for me, it was Six Flags Great America was the park. I mean, we also went to Santa's Village out in East Dundee, which thankfully that's back up and running, which is awesome to see. Kiddyland, which unfortunately is no longer with us, but those three were really the ones that we would go to, and occasionally we got in the car and went over to Cedar Point in Ohio, which was a special treat to go to Cedar Point, but that was cool too.
See, I'm older than you, so I think the first big Six Flags, there wasn't anything here, because Great America, as I got a little bit older, but we used to go down to St. Louis to the Six Flags down there, and then, right, Kiddyland, I would say even Kiddyland more than Santa's Village, and what's cool, you mentioned Santa's Village being reopened. They do have some Kiddyland rides that they bought, and that kind of is a nice little flashback. They're the smaller rides, but that I love that. It's just retro fun.
Yeah, and the Little Dipper from Kiddyland is at Six Flags Great America.
That's right.
You can ride that retro roller coaster there, too. It's always cool to see people are saving old rides. Indiana Beach out not too far from Chicago. Gene Staples, who took that over, has been saving amusement parks across the country and has been saving old rides, too. So it's cool to see that that's sort of a trend, that there are people in the industry who still have a heart for the classics and want to keep them when possible. So that's cool.
I think Jason at Santa's Village also bought the log ride. I don't think it's put together yet, but I think he bought the log ride, right, from Kiddyland.
Yep. So that's something they're working on, too, I believe. But, you know, when you the problem with some of these old rides is maintaining them and finding the parts for them and everything else. You can't just go to Ace Hardware and talk to, you know, Mr. Fix-It and say, hey, can you give me something for a log ride? It's complicated, so it takes a little bit of time.
It does. So what would you say, like, as a roller coaster addict, like, you know, how many different roller coasters have you ridden in your lifetime, you think?
That's a good question. It's over 100. So in the enthusiast community, that's not actually a lot. I mean, some of the people that I hang out with are in the 800, 900 level. But for me, you know, it's a matter of I would love to ride everything. But it's 121 is my count. I just looked it up on my app that tracks these things. I'm that much of a nerd. I have an app that tracks my coaster count. We call them credits as enthusiasts, but so I have 121 coaster credits. But, you know, it's just, I've got two young kids, and they're not quite at this stage yet where they can ride all the big stuff. But as soon as they are and they want to, we will be traveling to do as many as we can.
I love that. How many coasters do you think Robin Baumgarten's been on?
Well, she's been on one with me, say at least one, maybe. I think when she was younger, she was a little braver, but, you know, this is the other thing. Like, you can't force people to do things. You have to know what your limits are when it comes to this, or really anything in life, and I always respect people's boundaries. So she was brave enough to go on Goliath at Great America with me, and she said that was it. You get one shot, and I respected that. I'm glad she did it, and she knew after that was going to be it, so that's good.
I love it. You know, there's a generation out there, you know, I still have aunts and uncles, even my father, who, you know, talk about still Riverview. And like that was the place to go to. It opened early in the 1900s, but it closed 56 years ago. And they talk about it like it was yesterday, you know?
I know. And that was my mom, you know, grew up in Chicago. And that was her and her dad, my grandfather, that was where they went. They went to ride the Bobs at Riverview and so many memories. I'm just, you know, where I sit at WGN-TV is just a few steps away from where Riverview was,
right.
And it makes me sad because I would do anything to go back and ride so many of the things that were there. But, you know, it's a tough call. And parks close. They open, they close. And it's unfortunate that one didn't make it.
Yeah. Do you know what the oldest operating roller coaster is in the U.S. or rides in general?
Oh, boy. I believe it is a ride up in the Green Bay area. I think it's the Zippin' Pippin. Okay. I could be wrong about that, though. I'm looking at it as we speak, but I think that's one of the oldest for sure.
Yeah, I know there's one in Pennsylvania somewhere. There's a roller coaster up in Pennsylvania that has it's like a Leap the Dips or something like that. That's
that one too. That might actually be the one. But Zippin' Pippin up there, which is not too far from us, is another really historic ride, and really one of the only reasons to go to Green Bay. So there you go.
I love that.
Right, unless you're watching the Bears, you go up there and ride the Zippin' Pippin.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you mentioned the Little Dipper going to Six Flags. I think they bought it for like $40,000 or whatever it was. But I remember talking to the folks when they were putting it together, and I'm sure you did too. Is none of that, what, like, they were surprised that was even operating because the wood all had to be replaced on that entire ride. And that's what I find kind of unique about some of these roller coasters. I mean, you think about the structures of some of them, and so many of them are, you know, made out of metal and so forth, but these vintage ones are still made out of wood.
Yeah. And, you know, there are people still building wood coasters and doing some really great things with them. They are a little more challenging to maintain because, you know, wood weathers more than steel does, obviously. But there's a unique feel to a wooden coaster, particularly those older wooden coasters. It's one of those things. As an enthusiast, you just love the feel of an old wood coaster, and they just take tender love and care to keep up and keep running. And you get a good maintenance crew at a park who loves a ride, they will keep it running.
Yeah, no question. You are a coaster geek. So, like, how many different types of coasters are there?
Oh, there's a ton. I mean, there's more than even just wood and steel coasters. There's, you know, between them, there's stand-up coasters, there's sit-down coasters, there's flying coasters where it feels like you're flying, there's wing coasters where you're sitting on the side of the tracks, there's launch coasters, there's traditional lift-hill coasters, there's, I mean, you name it. Like, these manufacturers are coming up with just really unique ways to take these to other levels. They're dreaming of things that, and I get to meet a lot of these people through this job, which is cool, just how their minds work. They're so creative, like really thinking, like, what's the next place we can take people when it comes to thrills that's safe and people want to re-ride over and over again? I mean, I just rode a ride at Disney World, Tron, which is a motorcycle-style coaster where it feels like you're sitting on a motorcycle leaning forward and you're launching. Fastest ride they've ever built, and it's incredibly thrilling. It's not the fastest ride in the world, but it just the way you're sitting on it and the music that's bumping out of the car that you're in really takes it to another thrilling level. So it's just unique, and it's another way to tell stories, too, with some of these rides where they really create from the time you get into the line, the queue, to the time you leave, they're taking you on a story with something, which is cool.
Yeah, you talk about fastest. Like, what is the fastest coaster in the U.S.?
I think the fastest coaster in the U.S. still is King to Ka, which is a Intamin launch coaster at Six Flags Great Adventure. It goes like 0 to about 150 miles an hour in like 4 seconds. Cedar Point had another ride called Top Thrill Dragster, a very similar ride. And these rides are about 450 feet in the air, King to Ka is. So you're going like straight up. It's only about a 5-6 second ride, but it's an absolute rush when you hit that launch and you get to that speed. Go that high in the air and come back down. That's a real crazy thrill of a ride, but you can stomach it. It's the closest you can get to getting in a fighter jet on a roller coaster. It's awesome.
Wow.
Those rides are awesome.
Well, we're going to talk about some of Marcus's latest adventures and what he's been exploring. We're talking to roller coaster addict Marcus Leshock from the WGN Morning News, and there's more coming up after the top stories from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on 720 WGN. State player on 720 WGN. We're talking to Marcus Leshock from the WGN Morning News about his love of the roller coaster and some of the new ones in Chicago and across the country that you need to ride. And before we hit Chicago, you've done some exploring, namely Dollywood in Tennessee and Cedar Point in Sandusky, Ohio. I know Dollywood was like voted by TripAdvisor as the number one theme park in the United States. Would you agree to that?
I mean, it's up there for sure. I mean, listen, I love Dollywood. It is one of the great gems. And for a lot of people, for a while, it was like a hidden gem. But I think now Dolly Parton's so popular and they've blown up so much, their attendance is up like 76% over the last 4 years or something. More and more Chicagoans are coming there, and they keep expanding. They had a plan to invest about $300 million into their park over 10 years, and they blew through that, and they keep adding more resorts and more money and expanding there. They've got a neat collection of roller coasters, but really what the draw is there is just the atmosphere, the theming. If you love music, like, the music there is phenomenal. The shows there are outstanding. The food is great, and it's all set in the Smoky Mountains, which the Great Smoky Mountain National Park is one of the most visited, if not the most visited, national park in America. So you have this whole Gatlinburg, Tennessee area, which is blowing up, and then you have this theme park there, which, like, with a rich history. And I would argue the whole Dolly Parton thing, she is so popular right now. She's more popular than she's ever been, I think.
It's true.
And that's their IP. That's their intellectual property. Like, Disney has Mickey Mouse, you know, and Walt Disney.
Yeah.
She's like their Walt Disney. She's the vision
awesome.
Behind everything there. I mean, she is very active in what that place should look and feel like. And it's all based on her story growing up in the Smoky Mountains and believing that she could do anything in her life. And you walk in there and everything's positive messaging. It's all about families coming together and reawakening imaginations and having a great day. And it's awesome. I love the place.
So you're saying this is a great road trip. This is it's a must have. Okay, good.
Yeah, for sure. It's one of those places you have to visit just to see, and that part of the country is really beautiful too.
And you were at Cedar Point recently, right?
Yeah, I've been to Cedar Point a lot. I have not been there yet this year since their new additions, but they have a Wild Mouse coaster. They redid a whole section of the point there with this beautiful new pavilion right there on Lake Erie. Cedar Point's really unique in the sense of it really is this peninsula, this point that sticks out right there into the lake. So you kind of feel like you're on an island almost, which is really unique. But if you're a coaster person, that's a place you have to visit. They have every type of coaster and some of the biggest ones and fastest ones in the world. And, so they got this new fun spinning family coaster. I've been on these Wild Mouse-style coasters in the past. They kind of spin around in a circle, and, you know, as they're going along the track, and everyone's laughing, having a good time. But it, you know, fits in nicely with what they're doing there. But they're looking to build something even bigger and faster for next year. They're reopening their Top Thrill Dragster ride next year, and they're doing some real big improvements to that. Don't know exactly what it is yet, but it's going to be huge, whatever they're doing. So stay tuned for that in 2024. That's going to be the big story next year, is what they're opening next year.
Cool.
There at Cedar Point.
All right. I know Six Flags, they've done a lot of things from a food standpoint. I don't think there's any new rides there this year, is there?
No new rides. That's the big question with Six Flags right now. You know, they have a new CEO over the last couple of years who has kind of dialed back on that, and his strategy has been he wants to turn Six Flags into more of like a family-centered park, kind of what I was saying about Dollywood, like really geared toward like bringing families together and that sort of thing. But I think soon you'll probably start seeing more attractions popping up at Six Flags parks. So Great America, if you go there now, really they've been focused on painting the place, adding more places to sit, adding more food items, more festivals. So they're trying to do a thing where you show up and enjoy the atmosphere of the park. Maybe the attendance is down a little bit, so it's not as crowded, and the guests are having a better experience then. I think that's part of their strategy. But no new rides there this year, but I would expect at Great America, it's one of the better performing Six Flags parks in the country, attendance-wise. Mm-hmm. So they're due for a new ride. They're gonna have to add something here in the future. So stay tuned. I really have no. I'd give you all the scoop if I had it right now, but I have no idea. I have no idea what they're doing for the future. But it should be. I hope it's going to be big at some point.
I saw you talking about this new flyover piece that's going to be at Navy Pier. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so the old IMAX theater at Navy Pier, it was pretty sad when that closed. I loved that IMAX theater because it was one of the real IMAX screens, massive screen. That closed, obviously pandemic just probably really hurt them, and as it did many other movie theaters. But so in its place, they're putting an attraction. It's a flying attraction. So there will be a screen there again, a massive 65-foot screen that's going to kind of wrap around you. But you'll sit in these vehicles that go up into the air, and it will simulate that you are flying around Chicago. They're sending drones up around the area this summer, and they're going to shoot all kinds of video for this attraction. If you've been on Soarin' at Epcot down at Disney World, a very similar attraction to that, but with all the newest technology. So that's going to be huge when it opens. I mean, this is a multi-million dollar investment that they are doing down at Navy Pier for this thing. But I was able to tour the construction site a few weeks ago,
okay.
And it's going to open sometime next year. So it should be, it's a big project, but it's going to be cool when it opens.
Love that, love that. Santa's Village, Jason, who owns the place, he's very communicative over, like publicly over the winter months of what he's doing and what he's changing there. And I love it. It's such a beautiful park. It is so well maintained. Rides are always freshly powder coated. Like, I love all that.
I just want to echo what you said, because it was so great to me because that's a really special park for the area, you know, and to have somebody take over these places that really cares about it.
Yeah.
And when you go there, you can feel that. So, like, that's the thing. When I think of a place like Santa's Village, I don't necessarily think like, oh man, they need to have the new attraction or the new thing.
Right, right.
What they need to have is they just need to have a really great guest experience, which is what they have. You know, like, are they creating, constantly changing and creating an atmosphere where people really want to be there? And I know they added, like, their Santa Springs, so they're adding to the water park there.
Some new bumper cars. I know that. They did some new bumper cars. Yep. And then they've
got and they added a coaster a few years ago.
Yes.
I was out there for that when they added that. So there's like something for everyone, especially like a place to go with real young kids where there's a ton of stuff to do.
There's no question. No question.
Because they've got Great America in their backyard for the bigger kids.
That's right.
Right? That's right. But then they fill a need for like that really young toddler age. It's awesome.
No question. Now, Disney is celebrating their 100th in general.
Listen, Disney is another animal. Disney and Universal are like, they're on another playing field as far as like budget and everything goes. Yeah, but it's so it's neat to go down there and meet the people that are running those places. And it's still a similar concept, just on a completely massive scale. I know they're offering some actually discount tickets this summer down at Disney World. But it's a Disney World trip is something that you have to research and do a lot of work before you go. You can just show up at Dollywood any day and have a great day. You can't just walk up to the Magic Kingdom and expect to have a great time. Like, that's got to be like a 3-month process, you know? So, but Tron, their new ride, their new roller coaster at the Magic Kingdom, is a phenomenal coaster. Like, it really is. So, whatever, and Universal as well, right down the street, is building an entire new theme park that's going to open in 2025. They just announced they're opening a new Minions Land, which is Despicable Me themed.
Mm-hmm.
That's opening this summer at Universal Studios. So, listen, I mean, all this talk about, you know, the economy struggling and everything else, these companies are investing major money in these places, and people are going in huge numbers. If you look at the earnings reports and the revenue numbers, I mean, they are killing. The theme park business is killing right now. So sky's the limit. Competition is good. We all get new rides and everything else because they're all competing against each other. So we'll see.
All right. Well, I love your passion for all this. Marcus Leshock, find out where he's headed next on social media and, of course, every weekday morning on the WGN Morning News. Marcus, have a great summer, my friend. Appreciate it.